Tractate 7 John 1. 34-51. Part 2. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, Peter. It is not a great thing that the Lord said whose son Peter was. What is great to the Lord? He knew all the names of his own saints, whom he predestinated before the foundation of the world, and dost thou wonder that he said to one man, Thou art the son of this man, and thou shalt be called this or that? Is it a great matter that he changed his name, and converted it from Simon to Peter? Peter is from Petra, a rock, but the Petra rock, is the church, in the name of Peter, then, was the church figured. And who is safe, unless he who builds upon the rock? And what saith the Lord himself? He that heareth these my words, and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man building his house upon a rock, he doth not yield to temptation. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth my words, and doth them not, now let each one of us fear and beware, I will liken him to a foolish man, who built his house upon the sand, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What profit is it to enter the church for him who builds upon the sand? For, by hearing and not doing, he builds indeed, but on the sand. For if he hears nothing, he builds nothing, but if he hears, he builds. But we ask, where? For if he hears and does, he builds upon the rock, if he hears and does not, he builds upon the sand. There are two kinds of builders, those building upon the rock, and those building upon the sand. What, then, are those who do not hear? Are they safe? Does he say that they are safe because they do not build? They are naked beneath the rains, before the winds, before the floods, when these come, they carry away, those persons before they overthrow the houses. It is then the only security, both to build, and to build upon the rock. If thou wilt hear and do not, thou buildest, but thou buildest a ruin, and when temptation comes it overthrows the house, and carries away thee with the ruin. But if thou dost not hear, thou art naked, thou thyself art dragged away by those temptations. Hear, then, and do, it is the only remedy. How many, perchance, on this day, by hearing and not doing, are hurried away on the stream of this festival? For, through hearing and not doing, the flood cometh, this annual festival, the torrent is filled, it will pass away and become dry, but woe to him whom it shall carry away. Know this, then, beloved, that unless a man hears and does, he builds not upon the rock, and he does not belong to that great name which the Lord so commended. For he has called thy attention. For if Simon had been called Peter before, thou wouldest not have so clearly seen the mystery of the rock, and thou wouldest have thought that he was called so by chance, not by the providence of God. Therefore God willed that he should be called first something else, that by the very change of name the reality of the sacrament might be commended to our notice. And the day following he would go forth into Galilee, and finding Philip, he saith unto him, Follow me. Now he was of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, Philip who had been already called by the Lord, and he said unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law, and the prophets, did write, Jesus, the son of Joseph. He was called the son of that man to whom his mother had been espoused. For that he was conceived and born while she was still a virgin, all Christians know well from the gospel. This Philip said to Nathanael, and he added the place, from Nazareth. And Nathanael said unto him, from Nazareth something good can come. What is the meaning, brethren? Not as some read, for it is likewise wont to be read, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? For the words of Philip follow, who says, come, and see. But the words of Philip can suitably follow both readings, whether you read it thus, as confirming, from Nazareth something good can come, to which Philip replies, come, and see, or whether as doubting, and making the whole a question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Since then, whether read in this manner or in that, the words following are not incompatible, it is for us to inquire which of the two interpretations we shall adopt. What sort of a man this Nathanael was, we prove by the words which follow. Hear what sort of a man he was, the Lord himself bears testimony. Great is the Lord, known by the testimony of John, blessed Nathanael, known by the testimony of the truth. Because the Lord, although he had not been commended by the testimony of John, himself to himself bore testimony, because the truth is sufficient for its own testimony. But because men were not able to receive the truth, they sought the truth by means of a lamp, and therefore John was sent to show them the Lord. Here the Lord bearing testimony to Nathanael, Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says to him, come and see. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming to him, and says concerning him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Great testimony. Not of Andrew, nor of Peter, nor of Philip was that said which was said of Nathanael, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What do we then, brethren? Ought this man to be the first among the apostles? Not only is Nathanael not found as first among the apostles, but he is neither the middle nor the last among the 12, although the Son of God bore such testimony to him, saying, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Is the reason asked for? In so far as the Lord intimates, we find a probable reason. For we ought to understand that Nathanael was learned and skilled in the law, and for that reason was the Lord unwilling to place him among his disciples, because he chose unlearned persons, that he might by them confound the world. Listen to the apostle speaking these things, for you see, saith he, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called, but God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things that are despised, hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, as though they were things that are, to bring to naught things that are. If a learned man had been chosen, perhaps he would have said that he was chosen for the reason that his learning made him worthy of choice. Our Lord Jesus Christ, wishing to break the necks of the proud, did not seek the orator by means of the fisherman, but by the fisherman he gained the emperor. Great was Cyprian as an orator, but before him was Peter the fisherman, by means of whom not only the orator, but also the emperor, should believe. No noble was chosen in the first place, no learned man, because God chose the weak things of the world that he might confound the strong. This man, then, was great and without guile, and for this reason only was not chosen, lest the Lord should seem to any to have chosen the learned. And from this same learning in the law, it came that when he heard from Nazareth, for he had searched the scripture, and knew that the Savior was to be expected thence, what the other scribes and Pharisees had difficulty in knowing this man, then, very learned in the law, when he heard Philip saying, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law, and the prophets, did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, this man, who knew the scriptures excellently well, when he heard the name Nazareth, was filled with hope, and said, from Nazareth something good can come. Let us now see the rest concerning this man. Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What is in whom is no guile? Perhaps he had no sin? Perhaps he was not sick? Perhaps he did not need a physician? God forbid. No one is born here in such fashion as not to need that physician. What, then, is the meaning of the words, in whom is no guile? Let us search a little more intently, it will appear presently in the name of the Lord. The Lord says dolus guile, and everyone who understands Latin knows that dolus is when one thing is done and another feigned. Give heed, beloved. Dolus, guile, is not dolor, pain. I say this because many brethren, not well skilled in Latin, so speak as to say, dolus torments him, using it for dolor. Dolus is fraud, it is deceit. When a man conceals one thing in his heart, and speaks another, it is guile, and he has, as it were, two hearts, he has, as it were, one recess of his heart where he sees the truth, and another recess where he conceives falsehood. And that you may know that this is guile, it is said in the Psalms, lips of guile. What are lips of guile? It follows, in a heart and in a heart have they spoken evil. What is in a heart and in a heart, unless in a double heart? If, then, guile was not in Nathanael, the physician judged him to be curable, not whole. A whole man is one thing, a curable another, an incurable a third. He who is sick, but not hopelessly sick, is called curable, he who is sick hopelessly, incurable, but he who is already whole does not need a physician. The physician, then, who had come to cure, saw that he was curable, because there was no guile in him. How was guile not in him, if he is a sinner? He confesses that he is a sinner. For if he is a sinner, and says that he is a just man, there is guile in his mouth. Therefore in Nathanael he praised the confession of sin, he did not judge that he was not a sinner. Wherefore, when the Pharisees, who seemed righteous to themselves, blamed the Lord, because, as physician, he mixed with the sick, and when they said, "Behold with whom he eats, with publicans and sinners," the physician replied to the madman, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." That is to say, because you call yourselves righteous when you are sinners, because you judge yourselves to be whole when you are languishing, you put away from you the medicine, and do not hold fast health. Hence that Pharisee who had asked the Lord to dinner, was whole in his own eyes, but that sick woman rushed into the house to which she had not been invited, and, made impudent by the desire of health, approached not the head of the Lord, nor the hands, but the feet, washed them with tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed them, anointed them with ointment, made peace, sinner as she was, with the footprints of the Lord. The Pharisee who sat at meat there, as though whole himself, blamed the physician, and said within himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what woman touched his feet." He suspected that he knew not, because he did not repulse her to prevent his being touched with unclean hands, but he did know, he permitted himself to be touched, that the touch itself might heal. The Lord, seeing the heart of the Pharisee, put forth a parable. There was a certain creditor, which had two debtors, the one owed 500 denars, and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Which of them loved him most? He answered, "I suppose, Lord, he to whom he forgave most." And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, she hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Thou gavest me no oil, she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, to her are forgiven many sins, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That is to say, thou art more sick, but thou thinkest thyself whole, thou thinkest that little is forgiven thee when thou owest more. Well did she, because guile was not in her, deserve medicine. What means, guile was not in her? She confessed her sins. This he also praises in Nathanael, that guile was not in him, for many Pharisees who abounded in sin said that they were righteous, and brought guile with them, which made it impossible for them to be healed. Jesus then saw this man in whom was no guile, and said, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig, that is, under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Some great thing Nathanael may have understood in the saying, When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee, before that Philip called thee, for his words, Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, were not dissimilar to those of Peter so long afterwards, when the Lord said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjana, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And there he named the rock, and praised the strength of the church's support in this faith. Here already Nathanael says, Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Wherefore? Because it was said to him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. We must inquire whether this fig tree signifies anything. Listen, my brethren. We find the fig tree cursed because it had leaves only, and not fruit. In the beginning of the human race, when Adam and Eve had sinned, they made themselves girdles of fig leaves. 7 Fig leaves then signify sins. Nathanael then was under the fig tree, as it were under the shadow of death. The Lord saw him, he concerning whom it was said, They that sat under the shadow of death, unto them hath light arisen. 8. What then was said to Nathanael? Thou sayest to me, O Nathanael, whence knowest thou me? Even now thou speakest to me, because Philip called thee. He whom an apostle had already called, he perceived to belong to his church. O thou church, O thou Israel, in whom is no guile. If thou art the people, Israel, in whom is no guile, thou hast even now known Christ by his apostles, as Nathanael knew Christ by Philip. But his compassion beheld thee before thou knewest him, when thou wert lying under sin. For did we first seek Christ, and not he seek us? Did we come sick to the physician, and not the physician to the sick? Was not that sheep lost, and did not the shepherd, leaving the 99 in the wilderness, seek and find it, and joyfully carry it back on his shoulders? Was not that piece of money lost, and the woman lighted the lamp, and searched in the whole house until she found it? And when she had found it, Rejoice with me, she said to her neighbors, for I have found the piece of money which I lost. 9. In like manner were we lost as the sheep, lost as the piece of money, and our shepherd found the sheep, but sought the sheep, the woman found the piece of money, but sought the piece of money. What is the woman? The flesh of Christ. What is the lamp? I have prepared a lamp for my Christ. Therefore were we sought that we might be found, having been found, we speak. Let us not be proud, for before we were found we were lost, if we had not been sought. Let them then not say to us whom we love, and whom we desire to gain to the peace of the Catholic Church, What do you wish with us? Why seek you us if we are sinners? We seek you for this reason that you perish not, we seek you because we were sought, we wish to find you because we have been found. When, then, Nathanael had said, "Whence knowest thou me?" The Lord said to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. O thou Israel without guile, whosoever thou art, O people living by faith, before I called thee by my apostles, when thou wast under the shadow of death, and thou sawest not me, I saw thee." The Lord then says to him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, thou believest, thou shalt see a greater thing than these." What is this, "thou shalt see a greater thing than these"? And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see heaven open, and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Brethren, this is something greater than "under the fig tree I saw thee." For it is more that the Lord justified us when called than that he saw us lying under the shadow of death. For what profit would it have been to us if we had remained where he saw us? Should we not be lying there? What is this greater thing? When have we seen angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? Already on a former occasion I have spoken of these ascending and descending angels, but lest you should have forgotten, I shall speak of the latter briefly by way of recalling it to your recollection. I should use more words if I were introducing, not recalling the subject. Jacob saw a ladder in a dream, and on a ladder he saw angels ascending and descending, and he anointed the stone which he had placed at his head. You have heard that the Messias is Christ, you have heard that Christ is the Anointed. For Jacob did not place the stone, the anointed stone, that he might come and adore it, otherwise that would have been idolatry, not a pointing out of Christ. What was done was a pointing out of Christ, so far as it behoved such a pointing out to be made, and it was Christ that was pointed out. A stone was anointed, but not for an idol. A stone anointed, why a stone? "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Why anointed? Because Christus comes from Chrisma. But what saw he then on the ladder? Ascending and descending angels. So it is the church, brethren, the angels of God are good preachers, preaching Christ. This is the meaning of, "they ascend and descend upon the Son of Man." How do they ascend, and how do they descend? In one case we have an example, listen to the Apostle Paul. What we find in him, let us believe regarding the other preachers of the truth. "Behold Paul ascending, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God know it, and that he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. You have heard him ascending, hear him descending. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as babes in Christ I have fed you with milk, not with meat. Behold he descended who had ascended." Ask whether he ascended to the third heaven. Ask whether he descended to give milk to babes. "Hear that he descended, I became a babe in the midst of you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." For we see both nurses and mothers descend to babes, and although they be able to speak Latin, they shorten the words, shake their tongues in a certain manner, in order to frame childish endearments from a methodical language, because if they speak according to rule, the infant does not understand nor profit. And if there be a father well skilled in speaking, and such an orator that the forum resounds with his eloquence, and the judgment seats shake, if he have a little son, on his return home he puts aside the forensic eloquence to which he had ascended, and in child's language descends to his little one. Here in one place the apostle himself ascending and descending in the same sentence, "For whether," says he, "we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." What is "we are beside ourselves"? That we see those things which it is not lawful for a man to speak. What is "we are sober for your cause"? Have I judged myself to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified? If the Lord Himself ascended and descended, it is evident that His preachers ascend by imitation, descend by preaching. And if we have detained you somewhat longer than is our wont, the design was that the dangerous hours might pass. We imagine that those people have now brought their vanity to a close. But let us, brethren, having fed upon the feasts of salvation, do what remains, that we may in a religious manner fill up the Lord's day with spiritual joys, and compare the joys of verity with the joys of vanity, and if we are horrified, let us grieve, if we grieve, let us pray, if we pray, may we be heard, if we are heard, we gain them also.